listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host and our host, the marvelous, the wonderful.
Oh, you call me marvelous.
Marvelous
today.
And wonderful. Let's give you two adjectives. Jessica Coffey is our host. How you doing today, Jessica?
Y'all.
What's it going on?
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, depending on when you're listening.
Whenever
to
it is, that's what time it is. Hey.
How's
that traffic out there?
I can't.
Graduation traffic got us all.
Y'all, so I've been in traffic. That's my day because I've had to come to the studio and back and forth to the office. So, like, this is my favorite day because school is out.
However,
that means UK is out and, like, the public schools are out. That means I get to work in 10 minutes.
However,
when it's in, it takes 30, and you're sitting in traffic.
And today,
I'm just sitting looking. Congratulations!
Graduations
to everybody
are going on.
And walking with their caps and gowns. But
yeah.
This is
walking slow, too.
I know.
I see it. So I'm going to go there. When I give you the right to cross my car, you better put some pep in your step.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Please, like,
that's rude.
The slowest
that's rude.
People walk in front of your car when you're trying to get somewhere.
That's right. And they
and
look
I
back at you like,
"Here you are trying to be nice.
Nice.
Oh, let me
you
let
did
this
not
person
have to.
Pass. Let me let them let them.
They
pass.
Crossing on your green.
And now I'm trying to scoot the car up.
I know, right?
To tap. I just want to tap them.
I know.
I don't want
to. Sometimes, you know, I had to pray about this, but you know, sometimes I wish I had like a bulldozer, you know, with that nose on it. So when people try me, I do boom. We can't do that.
That's I was in my car frustrated.
Frustrated.
How slow people were going.
I know. And I know, well, I believe I know.
That also reminds me, like, have you ever been in the mall and you walk in, everybody walking the same direction, and then there's someone in front of you, they walk the speed of a tortoise. Not a turtle, a tortoise.
Well, what about driving? Is that?
Well, it's the same thing. Yeah,
are you a fast driver?
Break
the law on a continual basis.
You know,
basis.
The law was for the lawbreaker. The allowance for the law breaker.
Anyway, so that fast lane.
My foot may have a little bit of lead in it.
I just you know, I don't mind you not going as fast as I am, but if you're in the fast lane, when you see me come up on you for a purpose.
You be riding the tail.
I'm trying to make sure you understand that, you know.
Yeah.
When I do that, get on over. Then you can get back over.
You know what? Just take a deep breath. That's that's what we need to do when we're in our car. And,
that's right. We're in a rush to go nowhere. Well,
I don't know, depending. Because sometimes I have places to go.
Yeah, but when you get there, it's like, oh, I didn't have to rush for this.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. you are totally disappointed when you get there. You're like, oh, really?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else has been up? What's going on? It's about to be summertime.
It's about to be summertime, and I'm not sure if it was this show or if it's Sharon's show, but we were talking about swimming, and
it wasn't this one.
Well, I think it might have been, because then you told this lie about you being a lifeguard.
I never said I was a lifeguard.
I
taught swim lessons to the little children who were scared to dip their head under the water.
But you can't swim.
I can swim.
Stop.
Good
we're
enough
not doing
to
this
save
again.
My life.
We're not doing this again.
I ain't
again.
Saving nobody.
And we ain't doing this again. We're not doing this again. But anyway, I want to do some swim lessons.
Okay.
I'm
going
to get my grandbaby in the water. My grandbaby.
Oh, you
loves
do the swim
water.
Lessons or swim lessons for your grandchild?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the 10 and the 10 month old. The 10 year old and the 10 month old. Because the 10 year old loves water, but can't put her face in the water. What? What?
But you know what? She might have a claustrophobic type thing.
Yeah. It's time to get over that.
Because I can swim. However, I'm not swimming with my face in the water.
Stop
I'm
it.
Not
that,
doing
oh
it.
Oh, my God. What is the definition of swimming What is your definition of swimming?
Floating and not drowning.
Oh my God, that is not floating. Swimming.
Floating.
Okay,
we going need... from A to B without drowning.
Don't have to put. Oh, I love that you said drowning.
Sorry, my Paducah.
I know.
Accent came
I
out.
I know. Let's have a coffee break, please.
Okay, guys. So for today's coffee break, what I want to tell you is your passion is your greatest asset. Use it to fuel your hustle. So, you know, make that money, don't make let that money make you, Kev. However, like, think about the thing that you are passionate about and if you're really activating and using it in your life or to promote what your agency or wherever you are. We know my passion is food. And because I had a supervisor that would allow me to be creative and innovative, that's how we got healthy meals on a budget for our families and our program. So think about those things that you're passionate about and how can you incorporate those things in your life and within, you know, whatever it is you do.
You know, that's so funny because when I first graduated from college, you know, I think it's very irresponsible that we put so much pressure on kids to make life-changing decisions from high school. So I go to college. What do you want to major in? I want a job. I'm going to do business management. And I'm going to make thousands of dollars. Okay, you're going to do that, but you're going to be target third shift and, you know, you go ahead and do that.
Right.
And I found myself in a place where I was like, I am not feeling this.
I know I
got a degree, but I'm not feeling this. And my passion broke out in graphic design.
Oh, wow.
And then all of a sudden, I was an admin assistant at this place. And I'm supposed to be working and putting up files and stuff. And I'm designing stuff, running around the office asking people, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that's great. It'd be great if you do the filing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then I realized that my passion was not anything that I went to school for.
Right.
And God bless that I was able to tap into my passion and look where it's brought me.
Okay. Because we have a whole studio.
Whole studio. And, you know, it's a blessing. So, finding that passion. You'll never work a day in your life if you find your passion.
Okay.
That's what's up. We have a fantastic show today. Tell us who's on the show today.
So today,
what are we talking about first?
We're talking about fatherhood.
Are we
talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about fathers. Father's Day is coming up, and I want the record to show it is the greatest holiday that is undermined. Okay, Father's Day is coming. Don't you? Hey, go get that stuff for father. Don't get that tie and socks. Go take care of dad. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to get that off.
Okay. Clearly, you feel some type of way.
We're
talking about fatherhood, father engagement,
just being a father. And I know this is your pastor, but this is my friend. From way back in the day, when his first child, I was in there watching and recording and trying to get some memories for this guy with his first son. And I loved how he was a father, how he did things. So go ahead, introduce our guest.
So our guest today, he has become one of our recent Head Start heroes by helping and volunteering his time to participate with our father groups that are here at South Lexington. I call him Uncle Pastor. Because he's family before anything else. But we have Marvin King here with us. Hey.
Welcome, Marvin.
Y'all, he don't know how to take me because, you know, he hasn't seen me too much in my professional role.
Bruh.
He know the other side. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
We praying, see. Right?
So, you know, my, you know, I guess not memory, but our first, I guess, interaction was me seeing you as a father. He has two sons, Trey and Mason, who are whole grown adults now. Mm-hmm. However, when I met y'all, they were little kids. And my dad is in my life. Mm-hmm. But it's different seeing a dad with their boys mm-hmm. than their daughters. So yeah, that's my first, you know, memory of, oh, how we first got introduced. But yeah. Tell us about like fatherhood and growing, like how has your or childhood influenced the type of father you are?
Yeah. So, one, I say fatherhood is, one of the greatest privileges I've ever had in my life. Mm. It's a privilege. Mm. And my childhood shaped me, in the sense that, man, I'm without an excuse. Like, I mean, my parents were divorced, just in full disclosure. Mm-hmm. And my dad, very good man, but was not always there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He worked a lot. Mm-hmm. Right. And so growing up, you know, you have two decisions. Either you become what you've seen or you become what you've seen. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is you can become what you visibly see. My daddy worked a lot. Mm-hmm. He wasn't at home a lot. He worked because he was providing. Or I could have become what I mentally saw in what I thought good fatherhood was. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, I know y'all know I'm a pastor, right? Mm-hmm. So the church shaped me. I was born and raised in church. So I was able to see good men in a church environment, yeah. right? So I was able to take a little piece of this man, a little piece of brother so-and-so, and a little piece mm-hmm. of brother so-and-so. And then I had a good basketball coach. Mm-hmm. I had good coaches, whether it was T-ball, baseball, basketball, football. I had good coaches who invested in me.
Right.
So I took a little piece of everybody that I thought was real good, and I put it together to say, hey, man, this is what I want to be.
Right.
So true.
Right.
Yeah.
And too often, we're making the man that we want to be, you know, mm-hmm. and no father has the manual that says this is how it's supposed to be done and this is what you're supposed to do. It's a learning experience for us all.
Yeah.
And but we all are taking things from our past and saying that some of the trauma or some of the things that we missed out on, mm-hmm. we're not going to put that on our kids. And that shapes us.
Yeah.
And how we parent.
Yeah, it does, man. And you know, me talking to a lot of guys, man, because manhood is my passion,
mm-hmm.
right? I hear a lot of guys saying, man, well, I'm not going to be this way and I'm not going to be that way, but they turn out to be just like what they
right,
don't want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because, man, we have unresolved stuff, man. We mm-hmm. we don't really embrace the fact, okay, yes, this happened.
Right.
Or yes, I experienced this. But, you know, I'm not going to be this because I consciously work on who I want to be.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of, for me as a father, I had to have a vision of fatherhood. Mm-hmm. Like, one, there was one thing that I always said, man, there would never be no other dude
Say
who
that.
Was going to be the primary voice in my boy's
Say
life.
Say that.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Say
like,
that.
Like, period. Like whatever I had to endure, whatever I had to go through,
right?
No other dude mm-hmm. is going to be the primary voice in my boy's life.
Right.
Because the statistics and studies have shown, man, the image of manhood that a little boy sees at by the age of 7 mm-hmm. is what he gonna spend the rest of his life trying to become.
Ooh. Mm.
Wow.
So, man, we have to be careful what image
right.
of manhood we put in front of our little boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever image of manhood they see by the time they 7,
right.
that's what they're gonna be trying to become for the rest of their life.
Mm. That's deep.
And so, man, I was just blessed, man, to be able to have good men in my life, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's important, and it's something that we can't take too lightly because we're always teaching.
Yeah.
Regardless if it's a classroom, regardless if it's intentional. Regardless, you are teaching.
Right.
And someone is learning. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Look Who's Talking. We're talking with Pastor Marvin King.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly, so to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's comaction.org.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.org.
Welcome back. You are listening to Look Who's Talking. Our special guest today is Pastor Marvin King. And we've been talking about fatherhood and what it means to us and how things in our life has shaped how he raises his children.
Mm-hmm. And just having that male influence in your life.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that you said was it wasn't just your dad, because your dad wasn't always there. It was other men that were in your life that helped shape you.
Yeah.
And that's that male figure that I mean, again, we're still learning. We're still learning. So tell us about the first time you seen your boy.
Oh, man. Here you
first
go,
first time.
Man.
Here we go. Here Let's go. Man. What happened there?
Man, Cam was very fortunate, man. You know, we've been friends a long time. And, you know, Cam been doing his video thing for a long time, man. He videotaped, my oldest son being born, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, the first time I saw him come out, man, it was like, wow, man. It was like a whole weight of responsibility hit me.
Yeah, uh-huh. Say that.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I thought you was going to say it was going to be a gruesome alien-ish experience.
No, man. Man, when you see him come out, man, the alien experience, that was already over, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when the doctor hold him up and spank him, man, and make sure he alive, man, right. You know, and count his toes and fingers, mm-hmm. You know. But it was the responsibility of saying, okay, whatever I don't know, I need to learn.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, man, you ain't got no time. Like
right now.
Like, but what I've learned is, man, like, man, your children will give you grace as long as they know you striving.
That's right. That's right. That's
you know what true. I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like so many times, man, we you know, brothers hold themselves hostage to this image of perfection, man. Man, my sons ain't never asked me to be perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They just asked me to be present.
Right, right.
Wow. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like they okay with your imperfection,
mm-hmm.
but what they not okay with is you not being present.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, man, you know, whatever I have to do, man, I'm present.
Yeah.
There's not a day, not one day that go by mm-hmm. that I'm not talking and engaging with my sons
mm-hmm.
and they grown.
Right. Right.
Now the relationship has changed.
Right.
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 I'm not daddying them like mm-hmm. that. Right. Right. But now, man, it's now passing on wisdom.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Right. And then letting them know that in your life, then I'm going to be your safe place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you can't go to nobody else, you can come to your daddy.
Right. Right.
Like,
right.
You don't need another daddy. You don't need nobody to give you nothing. You don't need nobody to do nothing. No, you got a daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I say that because, you know, my oldest son, you know, it's a lot of people coming at him trying mm-hmm. to give him something. Exactly. Like, no, you got a daddy, bro.
Exactly.
Right. Your daddy work hard to give you what you need.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
You have to go look for identity nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm going to be whatever you need.
You know, I made it a conscious effort when my granddaughter was born to pour into her.
Yeah.
And I immediately, from day one, started calling her beautiful because I didn't want her relying on some other guy.
That's right.
To relate beauty to her. You are beautiful right now to me forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of made, you know, it kind of got a little rough because I was like, who's beautiful? I am. And I was like, okay.
Listen, because, honey, let me tell you what my daddy did. He's the reason why I got nobody now. Okay. Because I'll be like, is this what you offering? Well, my daddy said, I ain't got to settle for this. That's what my daddy said.
That's
but,
true. That's
but
true.
No.
Yeah, just you pouring know, in.
Now you have also to enter the hood of grandparenthood.
Yeah, man.
To a little girl.
Yeah, ooh. Man.
So how?
Oh, yeah. Ask
how that, is it different?
Yeah, how's that different?
Man, it's real different. You know, because one, you know, I've had boys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All, you know, for 24 years, I had boys. And now this little girl done came up in here, you know, and I didn't realize. Now, and I've always said this. If I had a little girl, man, I'd be thrown off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the boys had me wrapped around their finger.
Mm.
This little girl right here.
Yes, yeah.
You are. Oh, man, I'm all the way gone.
Listen, this how thrown off he is. She'll be saying something in church and he'll be like preaching and looking like he can spot her.
I know her voice in the crowd of a million.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. But again, it's even as grandparents, being able to pour in. I think you pour in a little differently because you know you don't have all that. Like when you had Trey, immediately you said, I got to get this in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And once they grow up, you're at a point of saying, suggesting.
Yeah. So for me as a father, I mentioned vision earlier. Like you have to have, like, and you pour it into your granddaughter, telling her she's beautiful, right? There were affirmations that I gave to my sons, right? That I'm cultivating, right? Helping them understand, man, nobody else defines you. You don't have to bow down to nobody. You know what I'm saying? You're strong.
Right.
You're smart. You're intelligent, right? All those affirmations. I think as you move to grandparenthood, you want to make sure that what you've poured into your children gets down to your grandchildren.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I told my son is you will never do less for her than what I've done for you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
See, you ain't got no excuse. See, this is how we raise a standard in our families in the black community.
Yeah.
You know, or in any community for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lift the standard for our children.
That's right.
Where there is no standard, man, we just accept
anything,
you know. So I'm very clear with my son. So the affirmations have changed. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, bro, don't, you know, I know you're doing your thing,
right?
But you will do no less for her,
right,
than what I've done for you,
right?
And I have to remind him of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because the same way you never had to go to nobody else for what you need, she ain't got to go to nobody else either.
That's the truth.
You know what I'm saying?
What I like is, you know, talking about affirmations. Affirmations are something, you know, you hear more now.
Yeah.
But I've only heard, you know, women talk about affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, you know, the importance of affirmations and also letting our viewers know, okay, what are affirmations and, you know.
Yeah, so I think affirmations are important. You're right. You know, mostly we hear, you know, women talk about affirmations, right? Especially all the things that women, you know, deal with in their survival in our culture. But men make affirmations too, right? And an affirmation is a statement of why you exist and what you're seeking to accomplish on a daily basis.
Right.
Right. So if I say to myself, you know, I will not be defined by anybody else's opinions, then what I'm doing is I'm affirming the fact that I am creating my own identity of who I want to be and not the identity of what somebody wants me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. They're important because affirmations, your words are power.
Mm-hmm.
Your words literally create images in your mind that are so real that you begin to start becoming what you talk about.
Right.
And so it was very important for, you know, are my, for my boys, because again, in the era of George Floyd, you know, you know, in the era of, you know, all the other, you know, the Ferguson shooting, you know, all that, you find young men, right, who are at risk. And I'm like, man, no, you're not going to be a statistic like that.
Right.
So those affirmations were important so they could start seeing in their minds what they're going to be becoming and what direction they need to be going.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest differences in men and women is how our roles as parents. Typically, the mother is the nurturer and the father is the disciplinarian.
Typically.
Just to, you know, get life across.
Yeah.
So where mom wants to protect. You know, father wants to protect too, but in a different way, and saying, hey, this is something you've got to learn. And you've got to learn this even if you have to hit your head a couple of times to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, I posted on Facebook. I stole it from Lawrence, your minister of music. Mm-hmm. He said, a dad can be in the worst position and the only words you will hear from him are, I'll take care of it. And he will find a way. He might get a little grumpy, but he will take care of it. To all the men out there, your hard work does not go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. And one of the things in our group is, how do you take, what was it, recognition, appreciation. And although I started the show talking about ties and socks, we don't care. Most men, we're gonna take care of, if we need something, if we want something, we're gonna get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not about the gift. It really is not. It's about the appreciation of the of what he's providing, what he's doing.
Yeah, most men just want peace on Father's Day, let's be real.
That's right.
Just leave me alone, man. Don't bother me. Can this just be one day where you don't ask me for nothing? Why I ain't got nothing to do. That's really what it boiled down to. But in terms of recognition, man, I think we as men have to understand the principle of delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand what recognition really looks like in our lives. What the biggest thank you for me is not a Father's Day gift.
Right.
The biggest thank you to me is taking the lessons of life that I taught you.
Yes.
And applied. You getting further down the road than I ever could get.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thank you can give me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Your success is my thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Your hard work is my thank you. Your discipline is my thank you. The way you treat people and treat people with value and respect, that's my thank you, right? That's the biggest thank you I could ever get.
Right.
Like, other than anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's good.
It's powerful. That's powerful. So it's just so important that we cultivate these relationships with our men. And I think it's important, too, that you had touched on trauma. We got to deal with some trauma. We got to deal with some things that we don't want to talk about or expose or even, you know, relive. But there are some traumas in our life that also dictate how we go forward.
Yes.
It dictates how we teach our children. It dictates, you know what I'm saying? So we really need to address some things. And it's okay to talk to a therapist. It's okay to get some help. Absolutely. It's okay.
Go ahead.
And it's just okay to acknowledge that you feel some kind of way.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we got so many people who are living in denial.
Right.
Right? And one of the things that I think I have learned is when we deny the trauma of childhood, right, you're not just denying the pain. You're also denying the love and the healing that you need to move forward.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because the brain and the soul does not selectively numb its pain. Well, if you numb pain, you also numb in joy and love.
Right.
So the very thing you need to heal is the very thing you're denying because you're trying to inoculate pain.
Right.
Mm.
And hurt people hurt other people.
That's it. That's,
you know what I'm saying? So even though, you know, you mad about what your daddy did, listen, you still got an opportunity. Right. You still worried about what you didn't get, but you can give even though you didn't get.
That's right.
Become the change that you want to see.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to have children.
Right.
You don't.
You can give into other kids' lives.
Know what? He said two words that stuck out to me, and that's presence and opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So within our program, we continuously do assessments. Mm-hmm. Because I want to have the best program in the country. So we are always looking at areas of improvement. One thing that we noticed is dads want to be involved. They mm-hmm. want to be present, but sometimes they don't have the opportunity. So we have been presenting opportunities for them to be involved. We had the orchard where we talk about this all the time. We were planning on 50. We had 350 show up. There was a movie event that I hosted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were thinking, oh, we might fill up one. We filled up two theaters. And the amount of the number of fathers that came in to be with their children, to be present, was astounding to where I'm saying, oh, hey. Mm-hmm. There's something that we're not tapping into, mm-hmm. and it's our male involvement. And whether it's fatherhood or whether you're not a grandfather or uncle or whatever,
mentors.
Men want to be involved. And that's what we're trying to do here for our agency.
I really appreciate you saying that, because one of the mischaracterizations of our culture is absentee fatherism. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at the data and let the data drive our decisions and assumptions,
right.
Men do want to be there with their fathers, but they do lack opportunity.
Absolutely.
Number two, going back to what Cameron said, man, men do not want to be in places that they are not respected or welcomed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So when the whole space feels like it's not welcoming to mm-hmm. me as a father, then we just defer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it doesn't surprise me that when you provide opportunity for men to be involved and connect with their children, they want to be connected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's a segue into volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
Come and volunteer. Read to the kids. When men, I don't have nothing against women. Let me be clear. I don't have anything against the women. But when men walk into a room.
Yeah.
It sets a different tone.
Well, and you have to know our environment to mm-hmm. understand that, because, you know, when it comes to childcare, when it comes to the education system, mm-hmm. it's 98% women.
98.
So it is important for us to get our fathers involved or our male figures involved, because we know the benefits of that male in the child's life.
That's right.
Whether
that's
it's right. A female whether it's a son or a daughter,
mm-hmm.
It is important. And that's one thing this program year that we are definitely trying to push. I'm trying to push that for the program, because, again, my utmost, my goal is to present our families with opportunities.
Right.
And I tell the staff that all the time, I'm not going to be sitting in Malone's and not provide an opportunity right. for my parents to be at Malone's.
Right, right.
That's why we had a family engagement right. at Malone's.
Right.
Because if I have the best, I want to provide the opportunity for you to have the best too.
That's right.
And that means creating an environment, creating a space. Y'all are doing great things mm-hmm. here, Cam, at South. You want to talk a little bit about that, about providing that space for men to come and have conversations.
Yeah, we have a men's group that meets once a month, and it's really great. It's new. It's growing, mm-hmm. and the atmosphere has been very conducive for us to speak freely, to have conversations, to get wisdom from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just the moderators up there giving out information. We're learning from each other.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? And it's been really good, and it's something that I look forward to. I was a little hesitant at first, because I'm like,
I don't
know what y'all trying to get me into.
We be trying to get Cam to do all kinds of stuff. They be like, but I don't know about
all
that.
All the time. But this is something that I really now look forward to. And, it's, you know, we encouraging those guys to come. Pastor Marvin came out and was one of our guests.
And I hope you come back again.
Oh, I will.
You know, it reminds me of Real Talk. There was a little session that Pastor did. You know, it's so weird for me to call you Pastor.
I know.
Uncle did, where it was like we were some college students or fresh mm-hmm. out of college. We were in our 20s
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how much could I do wrong and still be right?
That's right. That's right.
So he created an environment that made, we were all vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And all just sharing all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, hold
up. Right, right.
We up here telling our deepest, darkest secrets.
Right, right.
But it's because the environment was set.
That's right. That's
right. And even, you know, whether you're in an office area or in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
we want the environment to be set to we're propelling people greatness.
That's right. That's true. Yep. This has been a very, very good show.
You gonna come back?
I'm coming back, if you would have me.
Yes.
He's coming back.
Because I feel like we still have a lot more that
we have
can discuss.
A whole lot that we could discuss.
Yeah, especially on this topic.
Absolutely. And, I'm glad you came. I love you. You know I love you and the fam. And
appreciate the opportunity.
Wish you well, man.
The word of the day is...
Yes.
Manhood.
Whoa, you heard it here.
Manhood.
Manhood.
Manhood, but we ain't that man.
Head Start highlight word of the day is manhood. You know what to do with it. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Marvin. Listen to the show.
Listen to the show. And again, if you want to get involved, men, just reach out to us.
Yeah,
you can reach us at 859-233-4600. You can ask for the Head Start director, Jessica Coffey.
Whoa.
And we'll make sure to get you connected.
859-233-4600. You have been listening to Look Who's Talking.